Amen. And be seated, please. And turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Good to see everyone this morning. And we'll be getting those good smells from downstairs pretty soon, I'm sure. The college and career, I understand they're having green eggs and ham today, which I think is going to work out. They described it that it wasn't green from mold. So that's a positive thing. But anyway, praise the Lord. It is a beautiful day. Could be about 40 degrees warmer. But anyway, we're excited. Lesson number 22 is what you should have. Brother Collins is sveltely moving throughout the auditorium with those. Lesson number 22. Brother Collins, is that a visitor? Okay.
I just wanted to stop in and say hi.
Good to have you here, Dave. I've met you before, haven't I?
Yeah, you have. My brother
Mike.
Came here for a while.
Yep.
He doesn't come here anymore because he's got better church.
Oh, man, he's having a time.
No offense.
No, he's having a great, great time in heaven. And I remember his funeral. I preached about going home. And praise the Lord. So good to have you, Dave. Appreciate you coming. All right, lesson 22. If you need that, raise your hand. Brother Collins will get that to you. Anyone else need that? All right, the assault upon mankind. Again, we are in a section, Revelation chapter 6 through 11, the awful judgments of the book. Remember the book. We talked about that, spent a lot of time on that. And so this passage, the assault upon mankind covers Revelation 8, 7 through Revelation 9, 21, the six trumpet judgments. Our memory verse for this lesson, for this section, is Revelation 9, 6. And so let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 9, 6, "And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." Revelation 9, 6. And again, Revelation 9, 6. "And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." Revelation 9, 6. Father, thank you again for this time that we can study your word. We thank you for the truth. God, it is so refreshing to know that throughout all of our ministries today, we will be telling people the truth. Some will hear the truth for the very first time in their life. And God, what a blessing when it hits them that you love them. And there may be no greater truth in all the world than that you love us. And I pray you'll save those who hear for the first time how to be saved. I pray you'll save those that have heard it many, many times, but they've said no. But today, Lord, I pray would be the day they'd come to Christ. And then I pray you'll speak to Christians. Help us to be thankful for the truth and help us to learn from your truth today. Give us something today that'll change our lives, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Revelation, of course, Revelation 9 and verse 6, the Bible talks about men seeking death. It is very similar to chapter 6 and verses 15 and 16, which is kind of how we introduce this section. And men, they just can't take anymore. Yet worse is coming. The trumpets are going to sound. The first four trumpets are terrible. The conditions are hard for us to imagine, hard for us to think about that being in our world. We just don't see that. We don't understand those kind of conditions. And yet, the seal judgments were very awful, just letting man do what man does, minus the influence of Christians, the Holy Spirit, and it's just, you know, and the people said, we let the mountains fall on us. And yet, these first four trumpets sounding are terrible. We'll get into that a little bit more here in a minute. But again, in The scripture, it's very clear that the people are, you know, verse 13, woe, woe, woe. It's going to get worse. The angel says it's worse now. You thought it was bad. You thought it was bad during the seal judgments where men are, their carnal nature is showing forth, and there's no food, and there's pestilence, and there's war, and there's it's like right here on Maumee. In fact, two houses from the or one house away from the anyway, near the Cook's house. Mike and Linda just moved over there. Another person, you know, another standoff. I saw the front page of the paper. Don't know much about it. Other than the Cooks had to be moved, you know, here they are moving into their house, and hey, welcome! And somebody, some criminal goes into a house and gets, has a standoff with the police. And just a few weeks ago, right over here by Adrian College, same thing. And people just doing crazy things. Well, that's the seal judgments. It's man unleashed, and people as they become. They don't have food, they don't have money, they're going to just do whatever they want to do. It's going to be total chaos. The ultimate thing is people just say, hey, just let us die. We just want to die. And during these trumpet judgments, they are seeing the wrath of God Almighty. And it is very well known to them that, you know, this is now we have, we have something totally different. It seems like. This would cause repentance. It seems like people would want to be saved. It seems like, you know, the Bible says that the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance, and they didn't get saved as a result of the goodness of God. It seems like now they would get saved as a result of God's judgment, and yet many, of course, will not. And so we come to Roman numeral 1, the puzzling precipitation. And Revelation 8 and verse 7 talks about that. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now, I call this puzzling precipitation. It is an interesting kind of a precipitation that takes place here. Go to Genesis 1, verse 11. We ended with this, talking about this last week. And again, you know, sometimes you'll read something and it doesn't sound that devastating. It is not what we're used to. It is not the kind of a thing that happens every day. And yet, we can become just a little bit, okay, this doesn't sound so horrible. Well, let's think about this. In Genesis 1, verse 11, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And so plant life was first created, and now in this trumpet judgment here, the trumpet sounds, and plant life is the first destroyed. Now, again, this is not all of it destroyed, but a huge amount. I mean, we read it and say, okay, well, a third, that's not so bad. Now, some speculation. Again, you know, the Bible does not say exactly what this is. We know that it is hail, fire mingled with blood. That is kind of an odd thing, obviously. The hail, the fire, we've seen that before. We'll look at that in the Old Testament. Is this maybe stones coming down? Now, the Bible does say hail, but some speculate this is a prelude to the mountain, the molten mountain that's going to fall. Remember, we talked about asteroids and meteors and all that, and there sometimes there will be a prelude to that with smaller rocks and stuff. Personally, I don't think that's what it is, but it's something to think about because we can. But the thing is, you know, the hail. If you've ever been in a bad hailstorm, we had one several years ago, and I mentioned that how eerie that was when I was sitting on the front porch and had just come back from the fair, the soul winning tent, and was sitting on the front porch and just kind of watching the storm. I always love to watch storms. I love to watch lightning and all that. But all of a sudden it just got quiet, perfectly still. But I heard this loud roar, and I thought, we're all going to die. I mean, I couldn't figure out what it was. I had no idea. I'd never been anything like that. And if you recall, we had hailstones about the size of my fist, some of them, the larger ones. And I mean, you could hear it coming. You could hear it hitting the houses. You could hear it. So I just kind of peeked, and I mean, it was all white as it was coming through. And that was just an eerie kind of a thing. And immediately I thought of, some of these prophecies. And I mean, you talk about something that size of a baseball, most of it was golf ball, man. And you know, I mean, you think about that. And I mean, it was coming down. It was a roar and a rush. So you know, if you're a farmer, and that goes over your field's wiped out. I mean, if you have crops out there, they're gone. I mean, something like that, baseball size, golf ball size hail. I mean, your field's gone. And so, again, we have now the fire. What is the fire? Is it lightning or is it literal fire from heaven? I mean, God can do anything. We understand that. And of course, fire mixed with blood. Again, a very strange thing. Now, some commentators will talk about, this was the asteroid and the rain and the dust from the tail, the asteroid tail and all of that. Is a chemical reaction, and that's why it looks like blood. But do not discount the fact this could be real, just plain old blood. God can do anything. We cannot say exactly what all this is, but it's got to be devastating. It has to be devastating for those who are watching. Again, we're already in a very difficult time. Already the seal judgments have killed so many people and wiped out buildings and houses, and it's total chaos on the face of the earth. It is not a quiet, peaceful time anyway. So now this takes place. Now, then you start to think, the Bible says there's hail and fire mingled with blood. They were cast upon the earth. We know this is coming down upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now, this is an interesting thing, because this third part, some think that that's perhaps North America. Is everything is devastated in North America? Or is it the whole earth is hit by this precipitation, and one third of the trees in that are destroyed? And again, it's interesting to think about. In other words, if all of North America is wiped out, that would be a third of the earth. Or is all of the earth hit and there is one third of everything destroyed as far as the green, the grass, or the plants and trees and everything? My thinking is, especially when it says all grass, I think it is a worldwide storm that is taking place, and that a third is a third of all the plant life is destroyed. The question, though, that stands out to me is, why spare two-thirds? I always think about that. Why spare two-thirds? What is the... Obviously, God had a plan. God had more to do. I understand all that, but do we see mercy in that? Do we see mercy, or... do we see, again, with that mercy, do we see an opportunity for people to repent? In other words, they're looking around and they have an opportunity. I do want to remind you of Pharaoh. All those plagues. You know, Moses came back each time. All right, what are you going to do? And Pharaoh, the Bible says, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Finally, God just started hardening his heart, It's like, a person reaches a place where God says, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I often wonder in any given service, any given time, where God is saying this, okay, what are you going to do? Okay, this has happened. Now, again, nothing like this. But again, isn't that how God works? Isn't that how God worked in the Old Testament? Isn't that how he works with his people? Okay, you're now in captivity. What are you going to do? You know, are you going to serve me now? Are you going to do right now? Are you going to obey now? What are you going to do? And I, you know, many times I'll have folks come, and often people's trials are not because of some sin they've committed. I understand that. Many times we're in the valley because God wants to do something great with us. I understand that. But sometimes you wonder. I'll visit somebody in jail, you know, and I've got somebody to visit very, very soon that has sent me a letter and wants me to visit them. In fact, I guess I can tell you this now because we are allowed to do that. I had to do a little homework on that, but the fellow that broke into the church has sent me a letter of apology and wants me to visit him, and I'm very anxious to do that. Broke in twice, actually, if you recall. And anyway, but one of the things what are you going to do? Okay, what are you going to do with this now? All right, you messed up. Now, what are you going to do with this? So again, two-thirds are left behind, and to me, the question that has to be on their mind, now what are you going to do? Obviously, they don't know necessarily what all is about to happen. They don't know, certainly can't tell the future, but they know this is devastating. I mean, the earth is a mess. The world's a mess. Everything that they have known is nothing's as it was. Now, what are you going to do? Do you ever feel like nothing's as it, you know, well, my life's messed up. I think of this when at a hospital bed many times. Okay, now what are you going to do? You know, well, everything's wrong. I lost my job, or I lost my health, or I've got problems with this, or I've got what are you going to do? You know, is it time to make some decisions that God's spoken to you about? Is it, you know, what are you going to do about that? Again, two-thirds are spared, but understand, one-third or two-thirds of the earth is spared, not necessarily population. Again, that there's everybody has different ideas and stuff, but the third of trees, so not necessarily people, but what are you going to do? You've lost all these trees. And again, we think, well, you know, I'm not a tree hugger. Well, you know, I'm not either, but they do give us oxygen. You know, and they do provide nice pulpits and nice pews. So again, and we talked about that last week. Why spare some of it? Why not just destroy all of it? Well, anyway, again, an opportunity to repent. Obviously, people are going to die during that time. It's going to be a devastating thing. Go back to Exodus 9 and verse 23. We see hail, and hail, again, I just want to show you this because hail always is symbolic of judgment. Exodus 9 and verse 23, at least in the Bible. Now, I don't know if we were being judged when that hailstorm hit Lenawee County a couple years ago, but in the Bible anyway, Exodus 9:23, it is symbolic of judgment. Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven. The Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Again, that's got to get somebody's attention. You would think that would get someone's attention. So again, here we have hail and judgment. Egypt with the Exodus. Joshua 10, verse 11. Joshua 10 against Adonai Zedek. Joshua 10 and 11, and many other times in Scripture. But again, just want to give you these references. Joshua 10 and verse 11. It came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. And don't ever get the idea God doesn't control the weather. Don't ever get the idea God doesn't, have his hand in the whirlwind and the storms and earthquakes and nature and all of that. And certainly those who want to push humanism, they will certainly find out during the tribulation they were wrong. Those who want to promote Mother Nature and our sweet, loving Mother Nature, they also will be proven wrong. God's in control of it all. The clouds are the dust of his feet. I mean, God is in control of all of it. Again, we have Isaiah 28 in verse 2, as God dealt with Ephraim, who is the epitome, I think, of a lukewarm Christian. The epitome, a cake not turned, it is said about Ephraim. Isaiah 28 and verse 2. And I can tell you this, the lukewarmness of the Ephraimites and the Laodicean church, certainly we see that today, big time. And God, you know, I'll spew thee out of my mouth, he says, Isaiah 28 and verse 2. But here he deals with Ephraim. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm as a flood of mighty waters overflowing shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden underfoot. Job 38, real quick. Job 38, verse 22. Just wrote down several verses about hail. Job 38, 22. Job 38, 22. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? God is able to use the snow. He's able to use the hail. He's able to use the rain. We see it throughout. He's able to use a whale. He's able to use a raven. He's able to use a donkey. Over and over, God's in control. He's able to use these things in the favor of his will being done. And I can tell you, he's able to help you and I in any situation, anytime. He's in control of it all. And I'm as a pastor, I get probably the most frustrated with us as we start to, you know, fret and worry and, oh, but the economy and what are we going to do? And well, God will sell a cow. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. You know, he'll pull up a chunk of pavement. You know, it's gold in heaven. It's nothing to God. And it needs to be something that we commit to him and realize he's in control of all these things. You read this again, because I'm the kind of person that, wow, this is devastating. And certainly it is a sad thing to me, but to me it's also a very positive thing that my God's in control of everything. And when he wants it to hail, it hails. When he wants it to lightning, it lightnings. When he wants it to storm, it storms. He's not caught off guard with any of these tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, nothing. It doesn't catch God. God never says, oops. You know, he doesn't check the weather center to find out what the weather's going to be. He knows. He's got it all under control. And fire is also a sign of judgment. Blood is a sign of judgment. God using nature here with the first trumpet, as he used the whale with Jonah, as he uses drought. You know, how many times has drought brought a man to his knees to make a decision for God? How many times has a flood brought men to their knees? How many times has a great storm, a hurricane, earthquake, you know, whatever has brought man to a realization? I was thinking of a flood, and the laymans visited recently their son, Justin, going to start a church in California, and I hope many of you got a chance to meet them. But Brian Lehman, the owner of Amish Country Popcorn, he was one of my deacons in Bern, Indiana. And I still can remember his cabbage field. He did truck cropping, and it was key to his business back in those days. And his cabbage field was underwater. And two of his workers were two bus kids that had grown up in our church, gotten saved and baptized. And these two bus kids, they were by this time teen guys. He called me up and he said, "Pastor, I need you to come out here. My field's underwater, and I need you to pray." And I drove out, and as I'm driving by, those two boys are standing out in that field praying to God, and, you know, and just begging God. And all I could think was, you know, God could let him lose that crop if it'll win those boys. Now, you and I don't understand all that kind of stuff. Brian did understand that stuff, and that's why God has blessed him over and over and over again. But there we are, you know, here's the pastor and here's the deacon, here's these two boys, and we're begging God to remove the water from this field so that, and I don't even like cabbage, but he needed that cabbage. And, you know, God's able, folks. God is able. And you know, the drought, the floods, you know, the plant life. And again, to say, well, this is no big deal, but we depend on those plants for oxygen, and we also depend on those plants because animals eat plants. We eat plants, but we also eat the animals that eat the plants, and all of it is very important. Again, we're in a time the seal judgment said there would be famine. So we're already in a time where there's not a lot of food. We're already in a time where people, in my mind, I imagine Kmart, Walmart, Myers, they're empty. Windows are busted out. Doors are not locked anymore. There's nothing there. People broke in. Under the seal judgments, I see everything looted. I see home. You know, we're gone. Praise God. Our houses are empty. People broke into those a long time ago. Church is destroyed. All the stained glass busted out, you know, all the food from downstairs, the green eggs and ham, everything's gone, okay? It's all gone. Why? That happened during the seal judgment. Where are people getting their food? I don't know. All I know is when this takes place, they just lost a lot of it. The third that is destroyed, the third of you know, the idea that we get here is everything green. Was it fields? Were there fields of corn involved in that? Were there beans? You know, what kind of devastation took place there? And obviously, not only the plant life, animal life, man, all of that would be devastated by the puzzling precipitation. Let's move on. Number two. Ushers, if you'll go ahead and come, we'll just go ahead and collect an offering for the class. Number two is the molten mountain. Now, this is kind of an interesting thing here. Let's read it, Revelation 8:8. And the second angel sounded. And again, timing on the trumpets. We don't know, you know, how much time is in between. We just know the second angel. This first thing takes place. Second angel sounded. Could have been right after the first angel sounded. Could have been, you know, a period of time. We do not know. Second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now here is a great mountain burning with fire. We call this in the outline the molten mountain. Now, there's all kinds of speculation on this thing. You know, is this an asteroid? We talked about asteroids, talked about that during the seal judgments. And again, I do not believe that's what that is in the seal judgment. But in this case, is this an asteroid, a meteor? Or is this a volcano? Okay, again, it says, as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. In other words, a volcano on a coastline could easily, with an earthquake, be cast into the sea. So don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that's what it is, because I really don't know. But the point is, this either is from the sky or it could be on a coast. It is obviously, there is fire. It is burning with fire. It is very obvious. And so the thought of an asteroid seems to be the most popular thing. But the blood, obviously, if there is molten lava, there would be this red glow or a burning huge chunk, this red glow. Could be a chemical reaction, or again, it could be blood. As it says here, it could very easily be that. I wouldn't argue one way or the other on that. This is an amazing, amazing thing that takes place here. Now, we see as far as the blood, Exodus 7 and verse 20. When I mention chemical reactions and stuff, don't think that I'm saying no, I couldn't possibly, because the Bible says blood. I only throw that out because other commentators do. Personally, I think it's blood, just like it says. I don't think it's just red. I think it is actual blood. Just like in Exodus 7 and verse 20, Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. He lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of the servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. How do you know it's blood? Well, the fish that was in the river died. The river stank. I think that, and it says there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. So I'm not, I just throw out there things for you to think about and all that. That is what the Bible says. Now, that was a judgment on Egypt. And again, it's one of those things we just kind of say, that doesn't seem like such a big deal. That's a huge deal. That is it is hard even to imagine that taking place. Okay, it is just hard. The judgment on Egypt is one thing, but now here the Bible says that the third part of the sea became blood. Now it's interesting. It says it was cast into the sea and a third part of the sea. Now some people would say that a third part of the seas would be maybe the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean and all of its blood. Obviously, all the coastlines, if this is a huge chunk that falls into the midst of that, then obviously it would be devastating with tsunamis, the ripple that is just starts. You know, we think of a little ripple, we throw a stone in the water. Well, these are going to become giant waves bashing the coasts. Ships would be destroyed, just like it says, because of all of that. Creatures would die. All of that would take place. But there is another thought here, and it says that it was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. So is this maybe the Mediterranean Sea, for example, and a third of that sea was devastated? Again, just something to think about. A third of that particular sea, rather than a third of all the seas and all the water, then just a third. So again, not trying to minimize, not trying to, push anything aside. Personally, I think this is a huge ocean that has been wiped out with this devastation of this molten mountain. But again, fish life, sea life, people eat, people, that's their living. It is going to be devastating. And now some people, in fact, many commentaries, and I don't spend a lot of time on this because I personally think they're off, but they say it's symbolic of a powerful revolution, kingdoms, governments, all of that affecting the commerce and all that, and they symbolize many of these things. You may read that, you may see that. I personally think these are really happening. These are natural phenomena that are taking place, and I believe it is literal. I believe it is literal as an asteroid or maybe a huge volcano. They talk about this mountain just off the coast of Africa. And I can't remember the name of that. I was going to look it up, and I forgot. But there's this huge mountain off the coast of Africa that is about to, half of it, or so much of it, is about to fall. It may be a volcano. I don't remember if it is or not. But they say if it falls into the ocean, that the tidal wave on the east coast of the United States would be devastating. Now, again, that's clear across the ocean. And yet that is what would happen with these a huge chunk of mountain. Now again, this is a burning mountain. And so with two trumpets now, we have seen the land and the sea under assault. What's it mean? You know, what's that have to do with anything? What's it mean? Well, again, you know, that which God gave, again, He gave us the plant life, He gave us that, and we know that it's more than just for beauty, it sustains us. But, you know, whatever God gives, He is certainly able to take away. You know, the United States of America, we are the greatest country on the face of this earth. And we have, you know, for years and years and years, and we could continue to be. But righteousness exalteth a nation. Not our abilities, not, oh, praise God, you know, we've had some of the smartest people, we've had some of the greatest people, we've had heroes in our history. Praise the Lord for that. But righteousness exalteth a nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And what the Lord gives, He is quite able to take away. Now, you know, we're watching stuff be taken away. Things are being taken away here in America. It is just amazing to watch how fast our country is going downhill. It might have been yesterday's paper. The Indians here in Michigan. Now they've okayed homosexual marriage, you know, and so there, you know, there it is, front page, couple of men getting married, you know, boy, and everybody's just so happy about that. God's not. And you know what, Christian, we're afraid to say anything. Yeah. You say, well, Pastor, you just did. Well, I'm just kind of different. Used to, Christians would say a lot of stuff, but anymore, hey, you can't say that. Oh, hate speech. Hate. You hate. I don't hate anybody. But I'm just telling you, it is. You say, what's that have to do with anything? Well, because what God gives, God takes away. He can. And you know, here we see this assault on, yeah, but what? Oh, but God's created everything so beautiful. You know, Palm Sunday, 1965. I was in first grade, and I never thought I would see anything like what I saw, the devastation of the tornado, the one that just went through our area, and, you know, so many. God, and it can, just like that. We watched Katrina roar in. We've watched Sandy. We've watched, you know, all these different things, and we still somehow think man is the measure of all things. Can be gone like that. One drought, one flood. Think about it, honestly. Does it affect our economy? Does it affect everything? Sure it does. Sure it does. Global warming. Oh, praise God for it. Amen. 70 degrees would be perfect, right? Oh, but the ice will melt. It's, you know, whatever. Whatever. We need to, as we study this, again, I hope your attitude, and certainly I don't want my attitude ever to be, well, they're going to get theirs. I know, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But to me, it is more about how great thou art. God, you are so great. Amen. You can do anything.